Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. We are inching ever so closer to Labor Day weekend, just another day away now. It's a flu shot or your job. That's what hospital workers in Michigan are facing, and who knows if it'll stop there. I'll be talking about that later. And a new billboard in the state declaring that God is not necessary. It's drawing a lot of attention. I'll talk to the head of the organization behind that sign. But first, surfing for porn at Michigan's public libraries. It's apparently happening, and a state lawmaker wants it to stop, although there may be some constitutional issues involved. To talk about his legislation to require libraries to use software that blocks pornography, I'm joined by State Representative Thomas Hooker. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Now, I haven't been to a public library in years, although it's hard to believe that libraries haven't somehow put restrictions on viewing pornography. In fact, libraries that receive any federal money are supposed to put internet filters on their computers. Isn't that happening?
I believe that most, I don't know of any that are not putting the filters on, but also all of them that I've talked to do require that if a adult asks to have that filter removed, they can have it removed.
It seems ridiculous for someone to walk into a library and then look at pornography. Is that happening at all or very rarely here in Michigan?
Well, in my district, for example, there's a library with, I believe, 40 different internet site locations where people can, or internet stations that people can sign out. And most of the time that I've been in there, I have my office hours in that library. There are people filling the sites and filling each of the stations, and in some cases waiting in line. And the constitutional decision says that if they're an adult, they can have that filter removed. So in the libraries that I've been a part of, literally anybody could walk behind where they're surfing the internet and see what it is that they're looking at.
Well, as you point out, a U.S. Supreme Court ruling did in fact say that that needs to be an option for adults to be able to have filters removed. How is that ruling going to affect your proposed legislation then?
Well, obviously, sometimes the definition of what is obscene and the definition of even child porn, it can be a wide variety of understandings. And so, one of the my initial bill, 4890, basically says that the library should equip all computers with software that blocks and restricts visual depictions that are obscene, child pornography, or harmful to minors. That library presently under the current law, which is contained in, it's actually Public Bill 455, Michigan Law 390.606, mm-hmm. basically says that the library has to have at least one computer if they have computers available for people to use that is blocked for minors, and one computer that is not blocked for people that are above the age of 18. My bill would basically say that all the computers have to be blocked. I would like to be able to block them from all obscene child pornography and anything that would be harmful to minors, but I've also drawn a additional substitute that I will put in committee if necessary to keep it constitutional that would at least place those computers that are taken off from being blocked in a place where nobody could inadvertently, a minor couldn't inadvertently see what the person was surfing on. So in a separate room or a place that they couldn't be accessed by a minor.
So ultimately, you're acknowledging that there needs to be at least several computers in the library that are not in any way filtering internet content. Is that right?
Well, I'm saying that, because the law already says that, and because the constitutional interpretation by the justices said that they have to have some available that can be unblocked if need be. I'm at very least wanting to make sure that we protect young people that would have an opportunity to inadvertently see it.
I'm talking to State Representative Thomas Hooker about some of the legislation he's proposing. Now, there is another piece of legislation you're proposing that involves gender reassignment surgery and state funding of that. I do want to take a moment, though, to ask you about the general support the governor has and the legislature has for socially conservative legislation on the whole. Do you think that even though the governor may himself not be a social conservative, he needs to be more supportive of that type of legislation?
Well, I definitely would want him to be. I can't speak for the governor as to where he stands on these social issues, but to me it's common sense that you protect your people and you make sure that our tax dollars are not used for things like the second bill you mentioned, 4889, that would forbid any public tax dollars for paying for a sex reassignment for transgenders.
Now, the governor's essentially avoided these types of issues, focusing on jobs and the economy. But even when you look at an issue like funding sex reassignment surgeries, that type of stuff, I mean, should lawmakers really be involved in issues that are essentially medical?
Well, when it comes to our tax dollars, I think we have to be, because with the economy the way it is in the state of Michigan, the dollars are very, very limited, and we want to make sure that every dollar is spent wisely.
Your bill regarding sexual reassignment surgery certainly made some headlines, although how common is this? I'd have to guess that it's almost non-existent here in the state.
Well, in the state of Michigan, there have not been any sex assignment surgeries done at public expense. And as I mentioned, I want to be proactive rather than reactive. There are a number of cases around the country, states like Massachusetts, Virginia, California, that have present court cases where inmates have asked for reassignment surgery, and the cases are passing through the court. Wisconsin had a Sex Change Prevention Act in 2005, which was overturned by the Eighth Circuit Court, saying that it was cruel and unusual punishment on the Eighth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the Eighth Circuit Court that is covering Wisconsin is a little different than the Sixth Circuit, a little less conservative than the Sixth Circuit. So that doesn't forbid my opportunity to try to challenge that, and the Supreme Court has not ruled in any way on that.
What about the fact that even on the medical marijuana issue, the governor has shown very little interest in taking a strong position on that, and the fact that the Republican legislature hasn't seemed to focus at all on these types of socially conservative issues? Do you really expect these types of bills to gain any traction or really be focused on in any way?
Well, I know that there's a number of members of our caucus, myself included, that have worked very hard with the governor in the first 6 months to get jobs, and jobs were a priority in our first part of the year. But many of us have shared and have said that, we won't put this off, indefinitely, that we definitely want to see, for example, the partial birth abortion ban that this state has never been able to pass, because of vetoes by our former governor and also other House and Senate groups that have rejected it. And so that's a priority, and I believe at least I'd heard that the governor would entertain that particular one. So, but when you're a social conservative as well as a fiscal conservative, you want to see both areas move forward.
Well, it's not only that the governor is not clearly supporting social conservatism. The theory is then that he's not really a social conservative, period, and he doesn't really believe in some of these social conservative agendas. Is there any kind of pressure that you think you'd be able to put on him, or that this wing of the Republican Party will be able to put on him to move these issues ahead?
Well, I think we're definitely going to move them forward and place them on his desk, and then it will be up to him to decide one way or the other, and then we'll have to come back and see if we can overrule a veto if he were to put one forward. But, you know, I'm hoping that we can have him join us in social conservatism on some of these bills that I think the majority of the people in the state of Michigan are seeking.
Although it seems that in this time when people are really worried about keeping their homes and their jobs, these types of issues are way in the back burner. Isn't this the last thing that the Michigan people really want to focus on right now until at least our economy is back in order?
I believe that a lot of some of these social issues that we're talking about do affect our fiscal ideas. For example, the cost of a sex change operation could vary anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000, depending on the gender and the types of treatment that have to go along with it. That's a dollar figure that definitely affects the fiscal area of our government as well. So I want to make sure that we are covering not only the fiscal but the social.
State Representative, I certainly got you. Thank you very much. State Representative Thomas Hooker, again, thank you very much for joining me.
You bet. Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Coming